Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, tonight, young people, there are some times, and I might say there will be many times, that what you're looking at is distorted. That what you're looking at doesn't make a lot of sense. And so, therefore, we have to keep moving in the right direction, walking in those places that we know God has called us to. And sometimes that direction, sometimes those steps are difficult. Oh, but I'm thankful tonight that He's faithful to meet us everywhere, amen, that He calls us to, in every place that He's ordained for us to be. Amen. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you would, to stand together as we prepare to read the Word of God tonight. Just get right into the message this evening. Looking forward to not only what I believe God would like to do in these altars tonight, but should Jesus tarry, look forward to tomorrow and hearing from these men in the morning, and looking forward to what God has to say. And I'm thankful for these times that we can come away together, and times of refreshing, times to be encouraged, times to be renewed in our faith. We all need that. We all depend upon this, and so thankful that we can come together for this time. As it's already been said, we appreciate all of pastors, youth pastors, everybody's diligence to come be a part of these retreats. We appreciate the camp board and working diligently in securing these places and time set aside that we can come together to worship, amen, to seek the Lord. And we just pray God bless you for all of your endeavors, amen, to be in this retreat this weekend. Romans, the 10th chapter, if you have your Bibles. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to start reading in verse number 16. And these verses tonight, very familiar. Many of you have heard them different times and different occasions. Preached on, I'm sure, in numerous sermons and church services. Just want to share this tonight. And then we're going to read a verse out of 2 Corinthians. But Romans 10, starting at verse number 16, and if you're there with me, why don't you say amen. The Bible says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing." Somebody say hearing. "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, you don't have to turn. This is a very short verse, yet powerful, important as all of it is. But it simply says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Amen. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Several weeks back, the Lord had begun to deal with my heart in regards to this retreat, and this word had begun to roll over in my spirit. And tonight, if I can, for just a few moments, I would like to just preach on this thought, and that is, when I don't see what I hear. Amen. When I don't see what I hear. Amen. Why don't you look to a neighbor before we pray tonight and just tell him, say, "There's some things I don't yet see." Amen. Go ahead and tell him, "There's some things I don't yet see, but I hear the voice of the Lord speaking a promise to me." Amen. There's some things we don't yet see. When I don't see what I hear. Can we pray together tonight? One more time, let's just ask the Lord to help us this evening. Father, we thank you once again for the privilege that we have to come together. Lord, the hearts and lives of these young people that are here tonight, sponsors and moms and dads and pastors and leaders that are here tonight. Father, I always believe in your divine appointment. And Father, I thank you that tonight is no exception. Some may have been caught by surprise. Some maybe had come at the last minute. But Lord, I believe you've ordained it. Father, I pray that your word would come alive in our hearts and ears tonight. I pray, anoint, Lord, us to receive of your word. As we believe your word is on assignment, it'll accomplish what it's been sent to do. Father, I pray you'd help us to leave here changed, different, challenged, Lord, than the way that we have come. And we're quick to give you thanks and praise. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. When I don't see what I hear. We understand tonight, and or should I say, young people, one of the things that we have to come to understand in our walk with God, in our relationship with Him, that there are going to be some things that He will call you to do. There will be some things that He will impress upon your spirit. There will be some direction that He will give. There will be leadership that He will set before you that is completely in opposition of to what your intellect says. In opposition as to what in our carnal minds of what makes sense to us. We come to find that we serve a God who operates on a completely different level than what we do. We serve a God that has something to say that is often completely different than what the situations that lay ahead of us might be. What we come to find often is that we are challenged and that we have set before us some things that we often try to spend a lot of energy. We try to spend a lot of time, maybe even resource, of trying to create what we think is the perfect scenario. Of trying to put together the pieces and try to understand everything and make sense of everything as to what is going on, amen, in our lives at the current moment. There are situations that do not make sense. There are positions that God will put you in that seems that you are in the most vulnerable position. That you are exposed, that there is no sense of protection. He will often challenge you to give from a place that seems like there's nothing but scarcity. It seems like there's nothing but emptiness, and He will call upon you, amen, to give and maybe even to invest out of some of those places. He will give you sometimes direction that might even seem like it is disastrous as to where it does not make any sense whatsoever. And also there are plans that God will lay in your heart. There are things that He will visit you with. Amen. In services just like this. In altars at home, in your youth service, and in your church service. At youth camps and times maybe even when you are in His Word and you are seeking after Him in prayer. That there will be plans that maybe to you and to everybody else, amen, it looks absolutely preposterous. Come on, somebody. It looks like you have lost your mind. It looks like that you are just completely out of touch with what everybody else is doing, with what everybody else has to say, with what every other opinion that is floating around is speaking loudly, and with what you see ahead of you, you will find that God loves you and me enough to challenge you at the very core as to what you trust and as to what you're putting your hope in and as to what you are standing on. Can I say tonight that we often find ourselves, amen, at a place where we know that we should know better, but we find ourselves leaning upon our strength and resting upon the arm of the flesh. We try to reason and try to rationalize, and sometimes we will even argue our way out of the miraculous because we fear looking foolish. Come on here. I don't know if there is anybody who tends to be more self-conscious about looking foolish than oftentimes young people. And what I mean by that is, truthfully, it does not magically evaporate. That feeling does not dissipate when you step into your 20s or 30s. There's a lot of us that you try to think to yourself, I've got to compose or maintain some sense of decency and self-respect. But I've come to learn, I still remember growing up, there were times, Brother Zachary, that my parents just couldn't wait to do something that would make me cringe a little bit, that would just embarrass me a little bit, right? Make me roll my eyes a little bit and think, what in the world? And I remember my pawpaw would tell me sometimes, he'd say, there comes a point in a time that you reach a certain age, you ain't worried about what anybody else is thinking, amen? You're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to be what you're going to be. But can I say tonight, I believe with all of my heart that God would like to challenge some young people that are in this very room, who tonight you might be at a crossroad, a paradox, if you will, where you see ahead of you some problems, where what you see doesn't make sense, where what you see has baffled your mind, has made you think there is no way that God can move or help in this situation. And you stand there and the problems, they mount up against you. But we serve a God that says, where there is a problem, where you see calamity, I am a God that gives promise to my children. I am a God who has never failed and never lied. And it's not truthfully about your reputation. Come on here. It's not about your reputation that you have to worry, because there are times that we are not moving, we are not obeying, we are not stepping out into the places that God has challenged us to do so, because we are worried about how we will look, of what others might say. But I've come to realize in my life, Brother Dustin, is that it is not about me keeping my reputation intact. It is about honoring what God has said and what God has spoken. And I can say tonight, there's never been a moment when God has spoken His word that He has ever been embarrassed by what has been done. What He does is always right. Amen. Nudge your neighbor, make sure they're awake, say, He does it right. Go ahead and tell him, He does it right. Oh, when we look at this,
We have to understand that there are things with what we see, with what we see in the natural, with what we're looking at tonight. Amen. As to where, excuse me, as we stand in the places of what we see ahead of us, as what looks, as I used the terminology a while ago, as to what is contorted, as to what is skewed, amen, by our perspectives or by just what our limitations are, by what we can see. Can I remind you tonight, young people, that as we take a look, amen, at this flesh, we are finding ourselves often, we are dependent upon those five senses of what we can taste and touch, what we can see, what we can hear, what we when we look at this, we are oftentimes we get confused, amen, with what is going on in the natural, realizing that God wants to move us past these limitations into a place where His supernatural power can be experienced, amen, in our lives with what we deem as ordinary. Can I remind you tonight that God is looking to put His extra on it? Amen. That what we look at and see, as to where we are convinced by what we see, that there's no way that this can change. But I can tell you tonight, I believe that God wants to call a generation one more time to move away of being bound, amen, of just with what we see, of what makes sense, and to say, God, what we need one more time is to hear a word from heaven. What we need to operate in our lives is we've got to hear from heaven. It's a desperate time, church. Desperate time, young people. There are things that are in front of you on a continual basis. We are, and don't get me wrong, I love the feel-good moments. I love to see folks in the pursuit of His presence, and in the worship, the byproducts, if you will, the excitement that will flood your soul. I love to shout with you. I love, if you want to take off and run a lap, I'll do my best to keep up. Amen. I love to see folks get happy in the Spirit. And as Pentecostals, boy, we have cornered the market on some of those things. But one of the things that God spoke to my heart about, Brother Adams, was this thought. I said, we are at a place, and don't get me wrong, don't leave here saying, Brother Jacob's got something against Pentecostal worship, because I don't. But the Lord challenged me and said, we don't need another thing to feel, but we do need something to believe. Amen. We don't need just to leave another service and say, man, I had a doodad. I had a goose pimple. Boy, did you see so-and-so shout. We've got people that'll pack teenagers into concert halls and convention centers, and they'll shout and jump up and down. They'll spin. They'll do all the things that feel good. But Brother Samson, they don't know why they're shouting. And they don't know why they're dancing. And they don't know why, amen, they're doing all of this. But may God reach deep down one more time and say, it's not about what we feel, but God, let us hold on to Your word and give us something to believe. Oh, church, youth groups have become sadly a revolving door for many. Come on here. We have young people that have lost out, given up, thrown in a towel, have said the world looks better because what I see right now doesn't make sense. We base our walk with God, often upon what we're feeling, what we're sensing. We ride the emotional roller coasters. Amen, shout on Sunday, and all of hell assails us on Monday. Come on here. And if there's anything the devil loves to do, he loves to cause you to call into question everything that God's been trying to do, everything that God's been trying to say. Hear me. The Word of God says this. You'd say, well, Brother Jake isn't hearing a part of those senses. Yes, it is. But the Bible gives us very clear definition that it is by hearing the Word of God is that which cultivates the faith. Amen. Because God knew, Brother Ben, that often what was ahead of us and what we saw, amen, would counteract against what we're feeling or what we thought was able or capable. And therefore, God says, I want you to have an ear, amen, that is tuned in to what my word says. I want to remind you, young people, that devil, he is the master deceiver. He is absolutely fantastic at making things appear a certain way. Come on here. I was at a place and I had to try on a shirt. And I took that shirt, and if there's one thing I hate to do, Brother Sampson, is find my way into a dressing room. I hate that. But I got that shirt, Sister Goodwin, and I went in that dressing room, and I put it on, and I noticed, Brother Zachary, that, you know, the lights were pretty bright out in the store. You step in that dressing room, and those lights got soft. Come on here. And I noticed when I stepped in front of that mirror, Brother Sean, man, it looked like I dropped about 15 pretty quick. I turned and I was looking. I put that shirt on. I said, well, I said, they are making a great effort. Come on here. That what you carry in this changing room, come on, to hide the truth of what it was. Amen. To hide the truth of what there was. You see, because what I saw was not what the truth was. For about 5-10 minutes I stood there and I was admiring myself. Felt pretty good about myself. But I come to realize, Sister Hartwell, I was just believing a lie. Come on here. Because when I got back out in the light, those 20 pounds dissipated from what was in the mirror, and they revisited the ever-expanding ministry. Come on here. And I told my wife, I said, boy, they are doing some marketing at the store because they've got it set up just right. Come on here. I want to tell you, young people, tonight that there are some things that are just as distorted, can I tell you, as that the enemy, he loves to use that concept. There's the old terminology of smoke and mirrors. He loves to use the concept to make you believe that what you see right now is not possible, or that you're too far gone, or that the mountain is unclimbable, or that the river you cannot cross, or that the failure you can't overcome. Come on, somebody. Or that the calling you're not qualified for, or that the power of God you're not a candidate for. Can I say tonight, there are many that are sitting in our churches, sitting in our conferences like this, and you have come in looking at a situation thinking that might be for everybody else, but surely that can't be for me. Can I remind you tonight, we need to put our ear, amen, to heaven one more time and say, God, I don't want to be convinced with what I see, with the deception of this world, but let me hear what you have to say. Come on here. My mama, I knew when I reached a certain limit, right? Some of you young people have moms and dads that'll tell you this. They'll say, I've had it up to here. My mom could say, I've had it up to here. And I knew that I'd better put it in reverse. Amen. Back up the truck, because Mama Bear would come out if I didn't watch what was my next words. I better choose them carefully, right? She had had it up to here. And I also knew she meant business if I had an argument, if I saw something differently, amen, than she did, and she would say something that resembled this. She would say, this is what I have to say about it, and I am not speaking anymore, amen, in regards to this situation. What I've said, it is done, amen. Don't you give me another argument. Can I remind you, young person, tonight, that what God has said and what God has spoken and that what God has ordained, can I tell you, don't you let anything else you see confuse you, but may God challenge our hearts to know that if God has said so, that is enough for me. And that's what I'm going to hold on to when I don't see what I hear. Come on here. When I don't see, there are some here tonight that what you see is separation. But what God wants you to hear is restoration. Come on here. Where some that think there is no way, because of what I see, maybe of what you have done, the mess that you have made, the problems that have ensued, the failure that showed up again. Come on here. What I see, Brother Jake, as I see separation, I see that ahead of me it's a long way to get back home. What I see is that God surely can't use a mess like me. Come on here. What I see seems so difficult. What I see seems insurmountable. What I see is impossible. I'm reminded in Scripture, there was a young man. You might know the story. He had left the father's house. He had wanted all of his inheritance. And we know what had happened through the course of riotous living. He had spent all that he had. His friends had abandoned him. Brother Zachary found himself in that pig's pen. I want you to understand something. What he saw around him was full of disappointment and full of shame. It was discouraging. He was, I believe, despondent. The Bible even gives us the picture that for the lack of hunger, he was reduced to sharing his meals with the pigs. Come on here. Can you see it with me? Can you see it? Maybe you've not ever been in the real pig pen. But proverbially speaking, spiritually speaking, maybe you look around and what you see is hopeless. What you see, is despondency. What you see is no recovery. What you see is you think to yourself, I've made such a mess. I don't know if God can forgive. Oh, there's nothing but separation. What I love about that story, one of the most favorite phrases that I love about that is the Bible says that when he came to himself, I don't know, Brother Adams, exactly all of what was said, all of what the thinking process was, but he came to his mind, and I can almost hear as he speaks out from the muck and the mire of the pig pen, as he said, what am I doing here when I know back at my Father's house that even if I'm just a servant, that the servants have bread enough to eat. Can I tell you, Brother Sean, what he saw looked like an end of everything, looked like a separation. But would you just use your mind's eye with Brother Jacob tonight? Because I can hear maybe in the corridors of his mind that we know there was a daddy who was back at home praying for his son, longing for restoration. And maybe he heard the words, come on home, come on back, come on back to the house. I came to tell somebody tonight, you're looking on the outlook of what's going on in your life, and it looks like hell is winning. But I want to tell someone that what you see does not have to be what you hear. Would somebody in this house needs to know, when you see separation, there's a God who says, no, there's restoration. I'm here for you. As the old song says, there's bigger sins than that beneath the blood. Come on here. There's still a room at the Father's house. There's still a place for you to come and abide. We see young people walking out of the church, giving up on God, because the evidence of what's around them has convinced them. Come on here. Oh, it's convinced them that there's no way to get past that. If you ever watch a trial, one of the things, Brother Stephen, that those prosecutors like to do is they will say, we want to enter into evidence. Come on here. There is some damning evidence that should put the nail in the coffin that's going to separate that person from their family and society. Say, we ought to throw them in the jailhouse and throw away the key. Never let them out again. But then if there's a good defense lawyer, come on somebody. Somebody that stands in the gap on behalf and says, I know what the evidence says, but here is what the law has to say. Here is what the word has to say. Can I tell you, there's an accuser of the brethren, and he's laid out some evidence against some young people. But I heard a word, Brother Stephen, that said, what shall separate me from the love of God? There's nothing that's going to separate me. I serve a God who's in the business of restoration. Whoa. Place in our lives as to what you see, it looks like. And no hope. You're separated from the call. You're isolated from the group. God can't do anything with where you are. Come on here. But when the Word of God shows up, God's Word doesn't have to get checked at security checkpoints. His Word doesn't have to get the permission of individuals who will say, well, we'll let it or we won't. Come on here. Did you know God's Word can show up right in the middle of your dungeon? God's Word can show up right in the middle of your dire circumstance. God's Word, heaven's promise, will show up right in the middle of your problem. God, give me ears to hear. I see separation, but I hear tonight restoration. I see separation, but what I hear in my spirit, what I hear if I would listen to God, He would say that I love you, that nothing's going to separate you from my love, There's no peril or sword or persecution. There's no angels or devils or demon. Amen. Hell itself is not large enough or scary enough. Your sin's not too ugly. Amen. To keep me separated from you. Where you see separation, there's a Father who calls out your name and says there is restoration for where you are. Oh, can I say tonight that where we see destruction, where we see death and destruction, there's a God that if you'll listen, He likes to speak to us resurrection. Amen. Where there's death and destruction, where it looks like your demise, when it looks like there's no recovery from where that is, when it looks like it's all just a big mess. I'll never forget, I was about 10 years old. My uncle, Scott Reynolds, he was working at a sawmill in our hometown of Elsinore, Missouri. And what he was doing that particular day, he was running the lumber through that big saw blade as they was cutting that lumber. And when he was pushing his hand through there, he didn't realize that the tip of his glove was off just a little bit. And as he got close to that big saw blade caught that glove, and it pulled his left hand through that saw. Immediately, it had cut off his index finger. It went down, stopped just above the joint on his thumb. Of course, he was in a state of shock. They grabbed that finger. Somebody quickly got ice, put it on ice. They wrapped it up. They got him in an ambulance, and he headed to the hospital, the emergency room. They took him straight to Cape Girardeau, Missouri. When he got there, the triage group got there and around him, and they brought in the hand surgeon. They're looking. And my Uncle Scott asked the surgeon. He said, is there anything that you can do to save that finger? And he looked at my uncle and he said, Mr. Reynolds, he said, here's what I can tell you. He said, I know how this looks. He says, I know what you see. He said, but here's what I'm going to promise you that we're going to do. With what you see, he said, we're going to work with what you've got left. Come on here. With what you've got left in this situation. And he said, we're going to try to make sure that you have a full recovery with what you have left. Can I say tonight is that when we are looking at the mess, when we are looking at destruction, when we are looking at some things that maybe have died, when we are seeing some things, maybe it's a call, maybe it's a vision, a dream, maybe there's something God had placed in your heart, and you'd say, oh my goodness, I mean, it's come in, it's been ransacked, it's been destroyed. I don't think there's any recovery of any type that can happen. What I see has me in a panic. Brother Jacob, what I see has me in a place where I'm brokenhearted. What I see makes me think that there is just no recovery from what is going on here. Can I say that we serve a God who speaks life, who speaks resurrection? The Word of God says the entrance of thy word is light, and it is life. Can I remind somebody here tonight is that when you are at a point where things look certain, when the demise and destruction looks inevitable, we serve a God who can still call your name. He'll stand at your tomb. He'll go past the stink. He's not intimidated by the stone rolled over the door. And He can still call you specifically by by your name and resurrect you back to life once again. Can I remind you that where it looks like there's death, we serve a God who speaks resurrection power. The scripture tells us of a daughter by one of the rulers, Jairus. He came to Jesus, fell down, worshiped at his feet, said, I need you to come to the house. Said, my daughter's dying. In the middle of all of that, we hear the story, or we see the story, should I say, of the woman with the issue of blood. As Jesus stops and she touches the hem of the garment, and he's got conversation with this lady, and all this is going on. And the whole time all of this is going on, things are desperate for Jairus. His daughter is dying. All of this is happening. So Jesus continues with him to his house. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that there was a certain man. We don't know if he was Henry. We don't know if he was Joe. We don't know if he was Billy. We don't know his name. But we do know it says that a certain man had showed up. And with Jesus beside him, they look at Jairus and say, don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is dead. Come on here. And while they're in vicinity, you can hear those that are weeping and crying in the house. Can I say tonight that what you will see that meets you on life's pathway a lot of times are things that look certain. Come on here. You miss that. There was a certain man. And I can tell you, you will look at certain situations that look like it is inevitable, that you just better roll over and just die right where you are, that there ain't no use, come on somebody, in bothering the master anymore. Can I tell you that myself and everybody under the sound of my voice, we have met some certain in our lives on many occasions. And there are some of you young people that while you're trying to serve God, you look up and here comes certain. Oh, I'm certain you can't keep living for God. Oh, I'm certain this is where you're going to die. Oh, I'm certain this is where it all ends. Oh, I'm certain you can't obey God's call. Oh, I'm certain that you don't qualify. And while Jairus is there and certain meets him and says, don't you trouble the master anymore. Brother Adams, there came a voice. Come on, somebody. There came a voice standing next to Jairus, and he said, do not be afraid. Come on, someone. He said, do not be afraid. Only believe. Can I tell somebody in this house, he could believe because he heard the voice, Brother Sean, of the resurrection and the life. When certain shows up and stares you in the face and says, ain't no way you're getting out of this. Come on here. Death. Matter of fact, Jesus, if I can picture this situation, he even pauses. You've got a decision to make, Jairus. Only believe. Come on. Let's go on to the house. They step in there. And everybody, come on here. Oh, they're weeping, they're crying. And I like the word the scripture uses. Jesus says, he says, why is there all of this ado? You know what that means? What's all this hoopla for? What's all of this unnecessary? Come on here. What's with all of this unnecessary stuff that's going on? Listen, certain met him, looked him in the eye and said, don't trouble him. Jesus comes in and says, what are y'all doing this for? He said, she's not dead. Somebody needs to let that sink in your spirit tonight. Come on here. When the devil's staring you down and all of ado is being made, come on somebody, and all of hell is celebrating and the devil's licking his lips and he says, I've got me another one, and he is celebrating thinking you're down and thinking you're dead, and it's a three count on the mat for you. We serve a Savior. When you hear his voice, he says, what are you looking at? He said, they're not dead. It ain't over for them. I've got the final word. I've got the say-so. And if I say they're still life, they're still life. Amen. They're still life. He said, she's not dead. As a matter of fact, they wound Jesus up so much, he said, get out of the house. Come on here. Get out of this house. I don't want nobody in here ain't got any faith to believe. Come on here. Some of you may be coming into this house tonight, and if others were to put their finger on your pulse, your spiritual pulse, they would have said, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I'm certain. Come on here. I'm certain. It's over here. Come on. But can I tell you, there's a clarion call from heaven. Come on here. There's still a voice that'll say, Lazarus. There's still a voice, Brother Stephen. I heard at 11 years old with parents that were drinking and drugging their life away. Everybody else would have looked and said, there ain't no hope. But I still remember on the night in October, I heard, Jacob! Can I tell somebody in this house, you ought to insert your name. The resurrection loves you enough. He'll call you out of that cemetery. He'll call you out of that dead place. He'll call you back to life. Why? Because when I see destruction, I hear the resurrection. Come on, somebody. Last but not least, music, if you'll come. Forgive me for my hacking. I've just come out of the throes of a terrible respiratory infection. But hear me. The last thing I want to say is this. Is that when you see that things look dismal and despondent, there's a voice that'll tell you, no, there's direction. Come on here. When things seem dismal and despondent, do you know one of the greatest men of God found himself in a hopeless, dismal, despondent situation? The Apostle Paul. Brother Lucas, if anybody had spiritual resume, it's Paul. Mighty man of God, wrote over half the New Testament, started churches, one of the first missionaries. I mean, just amazing things that have been done for the sake of the kingdom. He finds himself on a ship in the middle of Euroclydon, the storm, if you will, to end all storms, it seemed. And the ship that he was on looked like it was going under. As a matter of fact, it got so bad that the man of God, I'm talking about Paul, Brother Wright, that Paul penned the words and said, after many days, we didn't see stars. We didn't see the moon. There was nothing to navigate our course by. He used these words, all hope that we would be saved was taken away. I know it's youth retreat and we don't like to admit these things, but I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many in here tonight you would say, Brother Jacob, I see a situation that is dismal, hopeless. You've been there when you said, God, I don't see how you're going to do it. I don't see how this is going to come to place, come to pass, how things are going to work out here. Paul, in so many words, it seemed as he was writing the end as if to say, if this is how it ends, but I don't have any hope in the way this looks. But you go down a verse. And maybe Paul said, before I hang it up, I just need to have one more talk with him. Before I believe how things look, I need to be sure what he has to say. And the Bible says, Brother Goodwin, that after long abstinence, what was he doing there? I believe he was praying. After long abstinence, he was there. He comes out. That ship is still rocking and reeling. That storm is still raging. All of those men were just like Paul. There was no hope. It looked dismal. It looked like destruction. It looked like despondency. It all looked that way. But Paul said, Sirs, be of good cheer. Woo. He said this. You know what he said in that story? He said, I have heard. I have heard a word from the angel of the Lord of whose I am and whom I serve. Woo. I know how this looks, but let me tell you what I have heard. I know how this looks, but let me tell you what I've heard. I have heard that we're not going to die here. I have heard that I still have an assignment to stand before Caesar. I've heard that there's still direction, that God is going to direct our path. Come on here. Some of you tonight churning in the middle of that storm, can't find direction. Dismal, despondent, discouraged. You know what I've heard? Said, Brother Jake, I don't know. I'm trying real hard. I'm trying to get with you. I'm trying to understand, but I don't know if you realize the severity of where I am. I don't know if you really know how out of control I feel. I don't know if you really understand that I've tried to get my bearings. I've been to the services. I'm here at this retreat tonight. I've listened to my preacher. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. But everything's out of control. I'm disoriented. My dilemma has me disoriented. I don't know, Brother Sean, in from out and up from down, what do I do? I'm not saying it's going to come like thunder and lightning or stones and rocks busting in pieces or consuming fire falling from heaven, but it might be just like the man of God who said, but I did hear a still, small voice. Somebody tonight needs to know that even though it looks like things are out of control, though it looks like the storm's going to destroy you, though it looks like that you don't have no hope of recovery from where you are, that there's a God in heaven who says, this is not where you're going to die. This is not where the story ends. Paul, this ship's going to be busted in pieces, but if you'll stay with the ship, I'm going to get you. He even told those men, he said, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. They got to Melita. And can I tell you, God loved the people of Melita enough, he would shipwreck Paul to send island-wide revival. Can I tell somebody in this house, it might look like death and destruction. It might seem like separation. It might look certain that the writing's on the wall. But may God give us some young people that'll say, I know what I see, but I'm going to believe what I hear. I'm looking for a wonder, but I need God to give me a word. I want a performance, but before the performance, I've got to have His promise. Can we stand all over the sanctuary tonight? Would you right now, young people all over this house, can we lift our hands to heaven? Come on, I want you right now just to begin to magnify the Lord. Come on, young people. Come on, right where you are. Right in the middle of what you see. Right in the middle of what's staring you down. I challenge you tonight to worship Him. I challenge you tonight to magnify His name. I challenge you, I dare you tonight to say, Lord, I know what I see, but I need to hear from heaven when what I see is not what I hear. Oh, God, we're believing you tonight to do the miraculous. We're believing you tonight, Lord, to do the supernatural. We're believing you tonight, Lord, to do the extraordinary. We're believing tonight, Lord, for resurrection power. We're believing tonight, Lord, for divine direction. We're believing tonight, Lord, for restoration and transformation. Oh, Robosana, come on, young people. Come on, Truth Retreat. Let's give Him glory tonight. Let's lift those hands to heaven. Would you hear the voice of the Lord tonight? Would you hear the voice of the Lord tonight? I can't be convinced by what I see, but Lord, let your word resolve and resound in my heart tonight. Oh, God, let me experience your power tonight. Oh, young people, I believe there's some. You're standing on the precipice. You're standing at a crossroad. You're in the middle of a fight, a battle, a struggle. And what you see doesn't look promising. But tonight, if you would hear, if you would hear what God has to say, if you would hear what God has to say to you in the middle of your situation, He'll say,
There's restoration, transformation, resurrection. There's divine direction. Hallelujah. Tonight, young person, tonight, hear me. I don't want this altar call to be something you go through the form and the formalities and the function. But tonight, I believe there's some that you have to step out in faith tonight. And when you do that, you're saying, Brother Jacob, what I see is completely contrary to what I hear. But I'm going to choose to hear the voice of the Lord. I'm going to choose to believe the word of the Lord. What the word of God say? Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That you tonight said, Brother Jacob, I'm here in this place to hear what God has to say. And I'm going to take him at his word tonight. And I'm going to believe him to transform and regenerate and renew and give me divine direction regardless of what I see. I'm going to believe him with what I hear, what he has spoken into my heart. If that's us, come on, young people. Let's find ourselves a place in these altars tonight. Why don't we step out and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. There's some things that have certainly met me where I am. There are some things that have challenged me. There are some things that look like it's going to overtake me. It looks like there's no way I can overcome. But I hear from heaven tonight. Oh, Robo Son, Robo Lobo, see,
I don't work. Only you.
Here, Robo Lobo, son, no.